This is CliffCentral.com.
What time does this podcast start?
This podcast starts about just now, man.
So good. Oh, put me on.
You're on, baby. You're on.
So we're trying to discuss if you told us.
Let's try that again.
Do you remember Eric saying he's leaving?
No.
During the podcast, he said.
No, he actually did say he was going to Grahamstown. But, like, kind of not directly. He said he was going in a car. He said he was going in a car with comics on a journey somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
We needed
the
to connect.
I won't see you for 2 weeks.
You motherfuckers don't listen. That's why.
He came back very gangster, eh?
He did.
Yeah.
Changed him.
Full thug.
Dan Frigolette.
Yeah, that's me.
Dan Frigolette.
Yeah.
I was at school with a guy called Leonardo Frigolette.
Okay.
He was a good sportsman.
Where was he from?
He was from Italy.
immigrants. Well, because we don't even have that's not a real name. We made that one up.
Really?
Yeah.
But he uses with the I at the end.
Okay, Frigoletti. Yeah,
Leonardo Frigoletti.
There's not a lot of us.
Incredible sportsman, but a drug addict.
Which?
Like he'd arrive at the school sports day, fucked out of his head, and then win all the races, and then smoke a doob afterwards and go home, and not come to school.
What a winner.
Wasn't in my school. He wouldn't have lost it a day at my
this
school.
This guy sounds great. He knows how to do the thing.
Balance.
And then years later, I saw his name on the board at the golf course. You know when you get club champion?
Yeah.
So the guy is just natural.
He's incredible.
But you're a good-looking, well-built young man.
Okay. This is a transition.
It's radio. It's radio. Oh, no, we're all built.
Are we just talking about
we're
what I look
young.
Like?
Dan, there's no... Oh, I'm unplugged again. There's no interviews.
This is just what we do. We just
have you because you've been busy, man.
Yeah, I've been doing stuff. I've been trying to do all the stuff all the time.
But
all
of the stuff. You've kind of made us feel inadequate. We're coming and doing all the stuff.
I think they didn't like it in Cape Town.
Why? Wait. What happened? What happened?
They were just like, all right, cool, man. Like, they didn't, like, here you come and you're doing the stuff and everybody's like, oh, dude, this is great. You're only on a thing, whatever. Cape Town, they're like. Yeah, nice to meet you. And then they didn't even stay for the show. Like other comedians, they just bounce.
Wow.
Yeah.
You see, Will.
They said it's clicky, and everybody wants to.
But
just,
you were on
like,
a radio show, Good Hope. You were on.
I want to Good Hope. They're fantastic to me. Yeah.
Okay. Dylan and Carl.
Yes.
Yeah. Which one do you prefer?
I don't know either one really. Dylan.
Carl, straight up.
Just like no.
Dylan
sucks ass.
No, Dylan was chill. He was because he was the one I was communicating with. He's the one who sort of facilitated.
Oh wait, sorry. Dylan, I like.
Dalen, the one that looks like Vin Diesel, yeah. The look alike. He says it himself, and he does.
He looks like Leonardo Frigoletti. DiCaprio.
Yeah.
But no, what the thing is with you've been on stuff we can't even get onto.
Yeah.
No, but
I've been canceled off stuff that you guys can't.
Which
get
one?
Onto.
Name it. Name and shame.
Well, I got canceled on Trending SA three times.
Trending SA three times. No one's ever been. That's never happened to someone. Yeah. What's happened is I've never been asked three times to be on the show.
Okay, I've never even been asked, period.
Oh, but you're going to be. We have a Comics Choice nominee. Right?
Yeah. I love this dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Eric is the first guy that I interviewed in Johannesburg, actually.
Yeah, I was.
First guy. The last time you were here?
Yeah, the last time.
January.
But you've got podcasts and things. Yeah. Here's the deal. Last week we thought you were on.
I heard that.
Okay.
And I did the research.
Yeah.
Extensive Ryan research.
Yeah, what did you guys have?
This week we got
double pages.
This week we got nothing.
You didn't
we
have
almost did like a Star Wars. You know, we did episode 3 first.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, yeah, we had a tutorial when he was just here doing his own thing, just making noises. And
I was wondering why I was getting all those followers. People were like, hey, where are you? Why aren't you on Cliff Central? People were tweeting me.
What is this thing you speak of?
No, it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
It was me too.
I was trying to be nice.
That was right. So Training SA canceled you 3 times.
Yeah. Oh, I respect. I mean, look, every time I'm here, something huge happens. Like,
for sure.
Like
you guys have turned 100.
The centennial. What is it? It's just his 100th birthday?
I think after you die, you stop having birthdays.
It's 100 and something. Is it the...
It's 100 on the dot.
100 on the dot,
yeah. And then what's happening? Obama's coming.
You're right.
Is that right?
Something like that.
Obama's coming.
Beyonce's coming. Ed Sheeran is coming.
No, that's a concert. That's in December.
Everybody's coming, man. Everybody's
the
coming.
The other lady's coming.
Which one?
Naomi.
Naomi?
No, there's a picture of Obama on the Campbell. In the rugby stadium.
What is she going to do here? Is
Naomi Campbell and Nelson were big buddies.
Oh, yes.
He had a poster. You know, like in Shawshank Redemption, he had the poster of Raquel Welch or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Nelson Mandela had
Naomi Campbell. Naomi Campbell.
Is that right?
No.
That's creepy. That's very creepy. That would have been her as an infant.
That's very different. Making that up.
Looking there, just
Where's Naomi Campbell from?
England.
Is she from England?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. She's got a temper.
Just looking.
He told her, calm the fuck. Calm down.
Yeah.
Why are you so angry?
I love how everybody has the worst Nelson Mandela impression. I don't even. I don't have the history of hearing the guy.
Like his voice sounds closer to mine than
Yeah, no, you guys aren't bad. It's just funny to call it terrible.
You're like this. Mine's more like that. You're on my wall. You're turtles.
Yours is Asian. Yours is Asian straight up.
Yeah, yours
Asian man.
You are Asian Mandela.
Interchangeable.
That's a horrible sis.
You don't get an accent in jail. You don't get outside influences. So you get the accent that the jailer has.
That's the Robin.
Pick up salut, that accent.
Salut Pagamisa. Hey. And then you're like, whoa, Warden, you need to calm down, man. This is two gangs.
So Dan Frigolet.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Yes, thank you for having me. Thank
Sorry
you for that.
I'm
thank
over
you,
late.
You did that little stretch. Just hear you yawn.
But has it been one of those weeks? Did you have a late night last night? I had a late night.
No, I didn't.
I almost fell asleep.
I had two movies as a kid.
I texted you guys late, and you guys got right back on. I was like, they're going to be asleep, and they got right back on it.
No, that time I was still, I was driving home that time.
It was like 1:30.
That reminds me. Would you give Ryan's number, please?
I was busy with things.
Oh, you did some things with some did
stuff.
You? Yeah?
Yeah.
Some ladies?
Not some ladies, one lady.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Ooh, nice. Yes. This
Eric,
is on
you have
now.
The floor.
You have the floor. Hot take. Hot take.
Nope. I'm not saying anything.
How much was it expensive? Or?
Yeah, man. I paid like $5,000. I'm broke now, but it was worth it.
That's great.
No. I was driving home. It was one of the few Thursdays that I dedicated to just, you know, let's go out and see what happens. And,
oh, yeah?
And, yeah.
It was, oh, it was and nice, stuff
man.
Happened.
It was nice, yeah, man.
Oh, very
so
cool.
So I can't play sexy music.
Yeah, this is sexy
music. This is sexy music?
News. This is news.
Yeah, this is weird.
This is news. Eric and a lady.
Yeah.
Despite massive speculation.
It's been a year and a half, and finally he has found another. One dumb enough to do this thing. Yeah, I know, but it was cool. Yeah. I was supposed to go to comedy, but then I was like...
Wait, comedy being on
like,
Thursday?
Parkers. I was going to go through and just watch it. Parkers.
Yeah, there was three open spots. You totally could have got on. What? Yeah, they were like...
They do three now?
Yeah, well, no, just last night for some reason.
Who's the host then, wait, is, who's, the host is generous or,
who was on?
Or weak.
Who was hosting? Who was on?
Martin was on. I was on.
Martin Davis.
Yeah, Farhan was on. And
was
then
on.
What's his name? Chris Forrest?
Yeah.
I didn't get to hang around. I didn't hang around. Gilly did one.
Okay.
I had to bounce. I had to go to over to the worst guy's show.
Do you and Farron have.
Okay.
You and Farron. You went to the worst guy.
It was great. No, and then everybody was like, it's like. But I went, and it was like, you know, it's the show that it is. And then, and because of that, I was able. I crushed. I was like, guys, yeah. I told the worst guys that when they flew me in from the U.S., that I wasn't doing the show unless we're going to get heckled by the espresso machine. I need a thatch roof. I need this guy over here. I need to make sure that there's nobody sitting
Very
in the front
specific
row.
Specific details.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
One
everything
random
in the room.
Interracial
and then,
couple.
And then they had a
you had people in the audience.
Yeah, there was like 11, and then there was like a cake. There was like a cake fridge, and it was like it had two cakes in it, and they were half eaten. I was making fun of that. It was great. And then
Champion.
I did my set. It was fantastic. They never lit me. That was the thing. They never lit me. So I was like I'm not.
I'm gonna keep going.
I was like no. I was like you guys aren't paying me for this.
I've never
I was
seen
like, I'm only doing. I finally, well. I finally I got so Hollywood. I was like, I'm only doing 15 minutes, guys.
Nah.
Not a minute longer.
I had to pay
longer.
For my. I had two Coca-Colas and I had to pay for them. At that gig.
Yeah.
And I've never seen a comedian heckle the audience because they just wouldn't do anything.
What do you mean they wouldn't do anything?
You ask them, where are you from? Nothing. Like, no, I'm here on a date with my girlfriend. We kind of just know each other a little bit. The other two people, there were four people. So the host was heckling them, going, say,
oh,
do something.
You had four?
How many you have?
Two.
Yeah,
two and two regulars.
You,
we were there. Was
we
that was the last
we
one.
Four.
No, but I performed to those people the last time, so I had to switch up the whole set.
Yeah,
because 50% of the audience.
That's why you're the next level comedian.
It was one guy brought half the audience. One of the other four people were with the host, and then there just happened to be like three dudes in the back who like kind of felt like they weren't supposed to be there. I feel like they just got
like
off of work somewhere
by accident.
Yeah, I don't know. I like first.
Well, we're here now.
Yeah, they just like they were like car gods and they like walked in. I don't know.
There's a lot of effort made. There's a microphone.
There's a lot of what?
There's effort.
Yeah.
Effort. They really do. There's even a picture of them on the wall. There's like it's like
yeah?
a real gig.
Is that true?
Were we on the same night?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to remember that night.
No, they're working, man. I mean, they're working.
Yeah, yeah. We were there that night, and then there were... What is it?
Works.
There were how many people? It started off like big, actually. There were like 9, 10 people in the room.
Let me ask you guys this: the
people left.
The call times on this on these shows here are crazy. Like you guys are like, get there at 7:30. I'm like, cool. And then I don't go on until 10. I'm like, why was I here at 7:30? I could have done all of the spots.
It's called the worst guys for a reason.
Yeah. No. But that happened in Cape Town too. They got me there at 7:30. I go on at 10:05.
You know what happens? Cape Town comedians don't pitch.
Yeah, comedians don't pitch.
They pitch like literally as the. Just before they walk in. So the host doesn't know if they're there.
Yeah.
They don't phone and say they're coming.
I see.
So they arrive late. So the other thing is, I find being there early, just watching the other comics, you kind of see what they pick up in the room.
Yeah.
So they're kind of...
I'm too big for that. I don't have time for that shit. No.
Did you and Ferran ever have a fight over who has the best hair?
No. You know what's funny? Well, mine's super greasy right now. I promised I was going to shower and I didn't.
Nice.
No, me and Farhan couldn't...
The way you say it is the proper airport security way.
Yeah, wow. Mr. Farhan, Farhan,
excuse me, Farhan. Sounds like a Shrek character.
Yeah,
Farhan.
It does.
I just met him, and then I met him. Actually, he knew me, and I knew who he was from seeing each other on posters because we were going to be on the Parker show.
Yeah.
So I was in town last time. Where were we? We went to Kitchener's on a Sunday because that room next door had opened up. We didn't get there in time, so now we're just going to eat.
That's why you must be there.
That's why what?
Be there an hour early.
Yeah, and then so we're hanging out, and I'm Italian, and he's
Ferran. I'll give you 5 guesses.
He's Middle Eastern.
He's Zimbabwean.
Arab. He's an Arab dude.
Yeah, off, but like from Zim. He's not even from like.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
makes no sense. Crazy. But don't try and work it
and
out.
He's got this fantastic beard, and so then now when we sit next to each other, all of a sudden we become related. It's one of those things. Now, have you met this guy at Kitchener's? It's Kitchener's, right?
What's
in Melville.
Name? What's his name? Poppy's in Melville.
Kitchener's Brown. That's the right one. Yeah, there's Kitchener's. This guy is going around, and he's full on an Indian dude, but he's going around and pretending that he's a security guard. He's lost his mind, and he's putting his fingers over his ears, and he's talking into his watch. It's like a fossil watch, and he's talking into his watch, and because he's doing that, and then me and Farhan are sitting next to each other, like the room starts to get uncomfortable that we're like princes or something. Like more like because it doesn't make sense. Like this is what I find funny is when something is so crazy that the least logical explanation becomes logical.
Yeah.
Because this guy would walk away and these people would be like, are you guys princes? Like what's going on?
Royalty.
And we were like, no, this guy's insane. And they're like, no, come on, man.
We are princes.
It's easier to explain that than to say. This guy's gone mad, and he's hired security.
Right,
he looked for on looks similar,
and he was, and then now you add in this Indian guy. Now we're all part of the same clan, and none of us separately look like we know each other or are related. But now you clump us, and all of a sudden they must be together.
Like,
yeah. Hey. So he's standing like a security
guard.
That's
what someone said. You can get in anywhere with a clipboard and a white coat.
Who was the guy?
Confidence. If you're wearing a suit and you're on the phone,
right.
No one asks you questions if you just walk by.
What is a suit and a phone? And if you tell people that you do sign language, apparently in this country,
oh, you get in. You remember the good stuff.
I got all the references, guys. I did all my research. Okay, I was out here making fun of Breck Pan. I did it. I figured it
champion.
Out. I figured out.
Do
Joe
you
Hansberg.
Realize that when they say that to you, like you travel properly?
Yeah,
you're not afraid. You
right.
Just arrive in a country. Go. Where's the comedy club in Uganda?
I did a lot of wrong things the first time I came here. Like I walked from I walked from Park Station to Sophiatown. With all of my bags on my back. I just walked by all these guys who were like, and they were looking at me and they're like.
Did you not know?
No one would do this.
You're streetwise. They're not going to mess with you.
Yeah, in their heads, they were like, no one, this guy either knows what's going on and like. Is
you know why?
Or is out of his mind.
Because behind you, there was a man. Come in.
I didn't realize he was on the plane with me on the way out here. He's
just
following me for months.
Just the fact that you mentioned Park Station. Why? How did you? Why?
Well, so I was staying in Sophiatown and I didn't. So I got off the plane and then they give you 3.5 minutes of Wi-Fi at the airport. So I was trying to figure out where to go for my first time in Johannesburg. And I'm like looking at my phone, and then I lose the thing.
Soweto.
And I'm trying to get a text or a phone call, something to tell me where to go. I don't get it. And so then I'm just sort of like look at a map. I roughly know that I need to be in Sophiatown. I get off a Park Station. No one wants to help me. No one wants to give me a cab. I don't have any cash. I don't know what the exchange rate is. I was like, screw it. I just walked 5K.
You get lots for a little bit, or a little bit for a lot.
Yeah. So I went. So I just walked 5K and didn't get mugged, but it worked out.
That's champion.
Have you ever been to Sophiatown, Ron?
Shit, I wouldn't even know where Sophia Town is. No, it's 5 kilometers from the Park Station. Just, I know that.
It's just south. If you walk on, the main road that Poppy's is on, just south until it ends, that's where it is.
Yeah, that's cool. Sophia Town. Poppies,
like University of Joburg.
Not Poppy's.
Where? What are you talking about?
Poppy's Melville.
Oh, there.
Yeah, okay, if you walk south, it's like, it's I don't know, a 10-minute walk, 20-minute walk.
And so, you were staying
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's...
I was staying there. I was staying in the dorms at the University of Joburg. That was my first leg into being in South Africa. I had some friends that were going out there.
See, that's the thing, is that travelers...
That sounds like Grahamstown to me.
Different parts of what you see.
Yeah.
That sounds like Grahamstown.
Yeah, that was the first...
That
was our first night in Grahamstown, because we didn't have accommodation until
yeah, I heard this.
5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah,
yeah, what did you guys do? You just went to the... Wait, what does that mean? You just went to the college and found...
No, I spoke... The thing is, like, I organized...
Whose job was it to organize?
I organized with Robbie. I was like, yo, how are you getting down? And he's like, no, this is what we're doing. This is the plan.
Yeah. He gave you a plan?
Don't worry about it. I'll tell you about costs when things
I'm in a
done.
Hotel room. Oh. I'm in a hotel room with Robbie in Pennsylvania months ago. And he's like, yeah, when you come, he's like, you should come to Grahamstown. I said, great, just give me the dates. Tell me whatever. I sent him a text after he got back. It's on WhatsApp, so he still hasn't read it. Like, it's still pending. He was like, come through. He's like, I'll put you on the shows, all the things.
No.
I said, great. So Robbie,
no,
so
but I told you to come down. Right, so he's like, no, don't worry. I'll just send you like all the figures that you need to know. I'll tell you about the places that we're going to be. Don't worry, we got this. So I'm like, what do I need to bring with? He's like, dude, just treat it as a road trip. When he said that, I was like, this doesn't sound
No, bring okay. What snacks must I bring?
Yeah,
I
yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah.
So eventually we get to Grahamstown. But like, this is, no.
Who did you travel
first
with?
First I message, it was me, Tats, Robbie, and Lars.
Car.
Yeah, in the car. So we leave, we get to Grahamstown. First,
you
no, no.
First,
Queenstown stop,
first
stop in Queenstown. Yeah, we do the thing in Queenstown.
One horse town.
But no. First, let me take this back. I asked him like 2 months before Grahamstown. So like a month before, I'm like, yo, man, have you sorted out accommodation and stuff? He's like, nah, don't worry about it. I'll sort it out. I'm going to do that by the end of the week. Fast forward 2 weeks. I'm like, yo, man, did you sort out accommodation? He's still like, nah, don't worry about it. I'm going to sort this thing out. I'm going to check later this afternoon. We go to Queenstown. We get to Queenstown, he goes, ah, shit, I'm supposed to sort out accommodation.
Yeah.
You know what? After the show, don't worry, I'll do this thing. We proceed.
Yet you're still trusting
him. I don't understand. You spent 2 months knowing that he's not doing it. You gotta get, somebody's got to get
know,
on
but
it.
So this much is the trust. Thing. I didn't know. So, like, I was just like,
but
maybe when we
but
get
that's
to
four guys.
Stuff.
But even I know. Yeah, yeah. I've only been in this country once, and I know that Robbie is not going to get back to me about something.
Lars, no,
love
I know,
the guy.
I know
right?
now. I love him too. But
love him. Great to be around him. Great.
Tats was organized. Lars was organized. It was just Robbie. Because I was with Robbie. Like, Robbie was the guy that I was going with. Right. So, Queenstown, we do the thing. That night, we proceed to get wasted. He forgets. We drive to East London. On the drive to East London, he's busy doing the accommodation. He falls asleep, forgets.
Amazing.
Get to East London. I'm like, yo, man, did you sort out the thing? He's like, ah, shit. Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to do that. Cool. Don't worry. I'll sort it out by tomorrow morning.
Amazing.
Next morning, we're in Grahamstown. Like, we just drove into Grahamstown. We're like, cool, we need to put our bags down. Where are we dropping the bags? He goes, I haven't sorted out accommodation.
Oh, shit.
We need to find somebody
that...
Is he
laughing?
No, he's cool about the whole thing. So I'm just like, okay, cool. I'm going to leave my bags in the car. We'll see what happens. After the late show was at 10:30. The show ended at 11:30. We're like, okay, cool. We need to go back to where we're staying. What's going to happen? He's like, no. Let's go to the club. Let's party a bit. Oh, okay, cool. We party till like 1 in the morning. I'm like, yo, man, have you sorted out accommodation? He's like, no, I'm waiting for this dude to call me back.
Oh, shit.
The dude that organizes things. At 2 in the morning, the dude that organizes accommodation calls us and says, yo, I'm at the top of the hill. You know where the dorms are. Yeah, it's like right on top of Grahamstown. So we go up, we see the place. He's like, yeah, cool. It's $4.90 a night or whatever the amount was. And we need the cash now. So you need to pay now for the thing.
Right now?
Yeah, we need the cash now. You can pay for the rest of the nights that you're staying here via EFT tomorrow. So we're like, okay, cool. I don't have cash on me. Robbie, do you have cash? Robbie's like, no, I don't have cash. But I'll draw.
Why did you even bother to ask Robbie?
I'll draw cash. Don't worry, I'll draw cash. So we go back down to where we were partying. Continue partying till like 3, 4 in the morning. I forget to draw money. We go back
How did
to
the party.
What do you mean? No, we were
Without
just
money.
paying by card because they had the card machine at the bar. We get back to the top of the hill. Everyone's chilling, and Robbie's like, "Yo, man, check you in the morning." I'm like, "Whoa, when did you draw money?" He's like, "Yeah, I had money. I paid for my room earlier. Why didn't you pay for your room?" Now I'm like, "Oh, now I'm the disorganized one." So 5 o'clock in the morning, I was walking through Grahamstown looking
trying
for an
to find ATM.
Yeah, oh, trying man. To draw money so I could pay for the room. So
it's so dangerous without an Indian security guard.
We pay, you know what I mean? No, but the like security was beefed up. So okay. I was walking like with my phone out, listening to music and everything. It was safe. So I draw the money. I pay for the thing. The next morning, I get lost trying to find the offices where they actually give out the dorm rooms for like a extended period of time. And in this time, the Cape Town Comics came through, and then they got a place which was apparently double booked. but it wasn't really double booked. So yeah. they left the place, they moved to the real place, and then this house was just empty. And then Robbie was like, cool, that's where we're going to stay. So then we ended up staying at some house, just the two of us, and
no, and
the
didn't have to pay any more money.
No, we paid less than what we paid at
the
dorms.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Eric's stories have that the ending. They just end.
They yeah, just
they just end.
That's spot on.
And
yeah.
we got it. accommodation.
And then we were good.
Eventually we were good.
Why, yeah, no one died.
Why is that the end?
Ryan?
It's like going through Lord of the Rings. And Frodo's at the end.
He's like, no, we're good. We're good.
We're good.
It's not even that.
Does he get the ring?
He walks himself home at the end. He's like, all right, guys, I'll see you tomorrow. He's like, what? Is that the movie?
We had an adventure.
He just closes the door.
Is that what
he's
happened?
Like, no, the whole thing was just to get me home.
Are you serious?
He wrote it.
Yeah. Read the book.
No, that's
that
not
what
happens. No, of course not.
Thank God.
No, no one would end a story that way.
I know there's a small.
I did.
So, Eric, you first time in Grahamstown?
Yeah, first time.
Would you go again?
I would, but not for the full 2 weeks.
Is it 2 weeks?
Yeah,
it's a lot.
It's 11 days.
We missed you, man.
It's 11 days.
It's a lot.
We used to say, what time did the podcast start?
I heard Rich Lou try to do the Eric thing.
It was terrible.
And then it didn't work. And then you're like, wow, that's actually better than Eric. So
did I say that?
They found out that you needed them?
I'm not nice when you're not here. I'm not nice when you are here.
So
you would go, what is the reason that you went this time? And why would you go again?
The reason I went was to make myself as uncomfortable as possible. Because,
comedy sense.
Yes, in the comedy sense.
What does that mean?
Because you have a fear.
Yeah, the thing is, I feel like I've gotten too comfortable. So, like, when I'm in Joburg, I'm like, I'm not going to jump on
Poppy's
because I know, like,
Fox.
In my mind, not to sound arrogant or, like, I'm cocky or anything, but, like, I know I'm funny. I know I can make these audiences laugh here. So, I went down going, I don't know what's going to happen. And if I bomb on my ass for 11 days in a row, it'll be good for me.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think, 10 of the 11 days I did bomb on
you
my
bomb
ass.
Bomb on your ass, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
What do you think the reason for that was? Like, what were you doing? Did you change
the
material? You kept your stuff the same, family?
I kept the stuff the same. Changed some of the references. But for the most part, it was just the audience's dynamic. Because most of the audiences, actually all of the audiences there are there for the art. They're not there to laugh. They're there
they
to
also don't get comedy.
Everything. Exactly.
It's weird.
So it's like doing comedy in Rego Park, but every night of the week.
For the first time.
For the first
you
time.
You got people going, must I laugh now?
Yeah.
And they feel embarrassed when they laugh.
Yeah.
That's Grahamstown.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing.
Well, it's interesting. I had that the other night. Was people would I would get them to laugh. They would lose control. They would laugh. And then they would try to suck it back in.
Yeah.
Like a sneeze. And then I was like, no. Like, don't let it.
It's okay.
It's
laugh.
It's going to go out the wrong way.
Come on,
yeah,
keep
yeah just let it out. Let it out.
And then Ryan did some research on you, Dan.
Okay.
Daniel.
What did you find out?
I don't know. Are you pulling up my birth certificate?
No, nothing,
why are you saying Daniel all of a
sudden? We played. We have you got a
Daniel,
birth certificate?
Daniel.
Where are you born?
Yes, I was born in Kenya. Me and Obama are born in Kenya. That's my history.
How do you feel about? Do you feel like a burden on yourself as a country person?
What?
As a Trump kind of thing, do people hassle you?
No, God, no. You know, this is my favorite part
of
the entire. This is my favorite part of the entire 3 weeks. I'm doing a one man show with Samoka Mo, and I've had great shows. It's my second time in South Africa. Everything's happening. Everything's going great. Now I'm in Cape Town. We're about to do this one man show. And 30 minutes before the show, he was like, and yeah, just so you know, like South Africans don't like Americans. And I was like, what?
Who said that to you?
It's Mo. I was like,
oh,
dude.
Man.
I was like, dude, that's not true. It's my second time here. Everybody's been super awesome and welcoming. And then like also it's like about to be showtime. And the room's filled with 100 people. Why would you say that to me?
Mo doesn't do that.
Why would you
Mo
say
Mo doesn't
that
even get involved in the show. He doesn't.
No,
care.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
So you did the fire and ice, am I right?
Yeah, that's
by yourself, your full hour.
Yeah.
He's not lying. Sometimes Mo does throw like just a random tidbit of information just before he's supposed to.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
I did the show at him. So you're getting,
no,
you're
it's
getting
fantastic.
$1,000.
No, the crowd was fantastic.
But he packs him in there.
The crowd was fantastic.
So I was getting money for the show. And as I went on stage, he goes, there's not enough money for the comedians. But I'm walking on. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The what?
Right.
If you tell me there's not enough money for comedians, I'll be less funny on
purpose. Yeah. That's how I felt. That's how I felt last night. And one of the other nights, I did another show where, like, clearly there's money in the room, but they're not gonna pay me. And then they're doing this thing. They're not lighting me. I'm doing fantastic, and they're not lighting me. And I'm like, starting to get an ego. And I'm like, no, you don't get one more minute of this.
Vittorio says, "What's up?
Oh, what's up? Yeah, what's going on?"
But you got a spotlight at Wish, guys.
No.
They use the projector.
No,
they turn it this way.
No, it was great. No, it was blue. It was a blue light. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
No, it was great. I didn't care. The mic stopped working halfway through.
Oh, yeah,
but those are the shows.
We found out what that thing's called. The thing that goes in the mic.
The XLR. But the cable.
That's not what we found.
The XLR? These shows...
the cable.
Yeah.
Didn't even fucking
the,
plug in.
The cord.
The cord did not work.
No, it was like a karaoke mic from a little girl's like toy.
That was my opening line. Right? It's a Barbie doll kind of like when you get her the house remember, with her.
What did they call
machine?
The one where you have to hold the? It's got like a tape player in it, and you have to hold the mic down. That's basically what it was. Yeah.
And a mic isn't expensive, and neither is a spotlight. And they are the worst guys. Get the basic stuff.
Yeah. But the spotlight, they got a spotlight. It's just not the right color.
That's a projector.
It's one of those things. No. They had a light. No, they had a light last night.
That's funny.
We have to sort our app out.
Michelle, I saw a message from Michelle. She was greeting all of us. You can check. Michelle. I think it's the second message. And then Vic said we must look at the WhatsApp. So I was trying Vic. Sorry, it didn't really work.
Just to say what's up. Is he listening?
He messaged me privately.
Vittorio Leonardi.
Yeah.
I interviewed him yesterday. He's Italian. Brilliant. I love him. Yeah.
You doing your podcast?
Do you want to come on the episode?
Don't cancel me.
I don't care. Yeah. I've never canceled anybody. No, come on.
But Ryan and we did some research.
Yes.
The podcast with the porn stars are people too.
Yeah. Porn stars are people. You did Tailbury's called Porn Stars Are People.
Two.
But there's people. There's a sequel coming out.
No, see, okay, but that extra word, and I thought, especially being here, because I feel like I have to speak proper English here.
Explain.
That you guys get it, but the two like alienates the whole thing.
Yeah, it makes them a weird. Group
the two
of people,
puts
yeah.
the spin on it. Yeah, yes. That's the whole reason it's called that. But I get it when an American says, porn stars are people, but they're from Iowa. They don't know how to speak English properly.
Ryan's from Boxburg. Doesn't know how to speak.
Those are my two spots: Boxburg and Breckpan. To make
yeah,
fun
I'm
of
from
I get
I'm
out
from
it.
Boxburg. Yeah, whatever you say.
But Boxburg is where what's your name? Charlize Theron.
No, that's Benoni. That's where I'm from. Hey, yo,
Charlize Theron.
Okay. No, so what's the question? Porn
stars
are people podcast.
Yeah, I did. Please. Ryan's got questions. Yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
How did it start? Let's.
Where do the porn stars come from?
Where did the idea come from? You said they're watching porn going, I'm sure these people eat, they put their trousers on one leg at a time.
I was masturbating and I was like, I wonder if this girl's banting. That's exactly what happened.
Or if she's got a pet.
Maybe she likes muesli. I don't know.
No. I met some people.
They do like muesli for anal.
I met. What is muesli?
Muesli is a roughage brand.
Oh, yeah, no. You literally just, there's actually, I got to talk about this with some people. I talk about it off podcast, but I talk about some of the porn stuff. But no, the goal was to, okay, so I'm on a podcast one time. It's a comedian and these two dudes who are whatever they are, and they're trying
it's
to
like
be
this
funny,
podcast.
Funny. It's exactly like this podcast. And then they had a porn star call in. And then they were just like disrespecting this woman. They were like, what kind of sexually stuff do you do? And I was just like, this is terrible. This is awful. So I was like, if I ever do a podcast and I have a porn star, I'm not going to do that.
So in your mind, you literally sat there and said,
I wrote it in my head. And then, like 2 years later, 3 years later, I was like, yeah, I think it's podcast time. And I was like, I don't know if I care about interviewing comedians and everybody's doing it. Although I do have a podcast called Comedy's Best Kept Secret, Eric on.
Yeah, I was one of the first ones.
Nobody
cared.
First South African. So it's porn stars of people, and there's something swell about it. But the problem is, like, you can't give anybody homework for a podcast. I don't know. I don't have any real way to research them in a real way. So I just have to, we have to wing it and figure out what they're into as we're on the cast. Yeah. It's rough.
We try to do a formulated podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast.
What's the formula?
We didn't come up with the formula. We kind of wanted news, but what happens is the conversations are better when we're just finding out.
That's how I feel.
I know nothing about you, and surely that's good.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you things. But I don't like the interview style. Where do you see yourself in 5? Where did you start comedy? Where are you from?
Right. Or they have too much information. You're like, I see that you were raised
Yes. And it's weird. And they find it on the internet, so it's not relevant. It's not what you do anymore.
Well, it's also because it's very important to protect your anonymity in porn way more than anything else. Because you don't want people following you home. It's creepy.
You don't want to see the strings.
Not even well. Same as I don't know about that. I think people want to see the strings, but you have to protect yourself as a person. Like I don't have to come up with a stage name. Yeah, I don't have to come up with a stage name in my life in my career anymore because it doesn't matter like that. But for them, it matters a lot.
That actually hampers your podcast a bit because you're trying to find out the other side, and they're trying to keep that side secret.
No, they're not. But from a research standpoint, you can't find out any real information. But we get to the heart of it. We get to the root.
And what has been some of the revelations? I mean, what did you walk away from interviewing the porn star?
Verse 7, we all die.
You know?
The beast comes out of the sea.
I mean, are porn stars regular people?
They're people, yeah, man. There's something great, and there's something that they get about. I mean, they're brilliant when it comes to things like the internet and like all the social media, all the stuff that we're terrible at.
Oh, yeah. In this room. They've got that.
They're so smart at it, and they're so good at it, and they get it, and they understand how to cultivate a fan base. There's so much to be learned from this type of entertainer who can like figure out how to get 28,000 people to be all over their Twitter, be all over their content, and every time they drop something new, that the person buys it. Who's the guy in? Who's this guy in England? I can't think of his name right now. I'm looking at his face in my head, but he's a
comedian.
He's been quoted a couple times. Like, I just need 100,000 people to. Maybe it's like 1,000 people to support him.
Russell Brand?
To just support him, Russell Brand's, probably got millions of dollars. There's a Stuart Huff, is that right? Or is that the American guy?
Stuart Lee. Could be Stuart Lee.
I want to make $100,000. I need 1,000 people to give me $100 somewhere throughout the day. Like, he's worked it out like mathematically. He just needs X amount of people that come to his shows each year. He works for them basically. He makes sure that it's new material and it's new things. And if he can keep those people loyal, then he can continue to work.
How's your social media? Have you got someone that's got a plan, or are you just winging it?
No, it's terrible. No, so that was the other thing. I was like, these girls have millions of followers, so this will eventually accumulate and work. And it is and it isn't. It's tough because I do 20 episodes in a row, and then hitting somebody up after 20 weeks after you did the episode, now it's this weird thing where it's like, we had a great time on the podcast, but I haven't been communicating with them because I don't want them to think that I'm trying to get anything else out of the relationship. So I want to be friends, but I don't want them to think that I don't want another thing. And it's like, and then when 20 weeks comes, they're like, I don't even know if we're friends. I did this thing for this guy and I haven't heard from him. And I'm like, hey, I'm posting it. Is it cool? Do you want to repost it? And sometimes they don't care about reposting it. Or they're too busy. I mean, it's just one of these things.
Yeah.
It's like comedians. It's like, it's out of our head. We know about the gig that week, and then we're like, I don't know where I was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I was in Iowa. I don't know.
Yeah. How's your traveling? Where else have you been? Because you seem to have really
mostly US,
figured
though.
Out the travel.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I came down here on a whim. I found out in November that I could have accommodation, so I just hit up the clubs. They said yes. I was like, that's crazy. Now I actually have to do this. Came down. As soon as I got home, I was like, I want to come back. When can I do that? My brother just moved to London, so I'm gonna hit up London all next week.
Is he in comedy?
No, he's in business. So
what's your family like? What did you when you grew up? Were you listening to comedy? Who's
I'm
the
number
person
two. Yeah,
who
I'm number
you?
Two of 4 kids. It was 1 and 2 came immediately. Then my little sister was 4 years after. Then my little brother was 5 years after that. So my brother's 9 years younger than me.
That sounds
so
like
a very
my
huge gap.
Yeah.
Me, I don't know. I think me and my dad watched a lot of stand up coming up. We watched Tim Allen. We watched Bill Cosby. I watched a lot of Ellen, Wendy Liebman. A lot of these people, yeah. And it was one of those things where it's like you're just watching it, you enjoy it, and you don't understand that you care about it this much until you have that moment.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Eric's, that's pretty dope.
Eric just had that moment.
Yeah, I think we talked about this in the cast. I forgot who your guys are.
It was Russell Peters, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
Chappelle. And then there's someone else.
You guys
there's
always
got to be someone.
I feel
there's
like you guys always show love to Trevor, which I think is cool. I think that's dope.
It is weird in this country because I think we've definitely got a post Trevor and a pre Trevor comedy scene.
Interesting. Yeah.
Once he left, something happened here where a lot of people decided that they lost their fear, and there's so many more comedians.
What was
Trevor
the fear?
The fear was like, am I funny? Am I the right color? Am I the right person to be doing this?
Is anything going to happen?
Is anything going to happen?
Is there any reason I'm doing this?
Yeah. Exactly. So now they see a pop, like a proper balloon pops up like this.
Well, what's happening here that doesn't happen in every scene is there are guys who are unreal, fantastic at this thing, and that makes everybody else work harder because you look at the standard. Every Saturday night, you go to Goliath and you go, well, I got to do that. And if I'm not doing that, then what the hell am I doing?
What am I doing?
And
is it seen different in you're New York?
Probably, yeah. Probably, so in New York, that's what you have.
You have a festival that you run.
Yeah.
Okay.
In New York, that's what you have. You go to the cellar and you go, man, I wish I wrote that. You know what I mean? Like, that's every night in New York. You just go to a show and you're like, damn it. Like, that's the premise I was working on, but he just did it better. And it's just like every night, and you got to work, you got to work, you got to work. But sometimes you go to a city, and their top guy has finally left, and now there's nobody left. And so what happens is the whole thing starts pulling down because the level of talent, now with who they're looking at, right, you have to have a guy. You have to have a guy who represents the scene to, I don't know. To work harder. Who do you guys think represents the scene the best right now?
What you said is right. There's a few. So you watch, you'd be shocked sometimes. You don't realize who represents the scene.
Yeah, so.
And what's happened here, I think we don't
I want to name them.
Do you have
wait,
someone?
Wait, now? The scene
Who are the guys you look at and they do a show and you're like, come on, man.
How did you there's six, like six guys. Luis Madinga, Tatsun Konzo, Lars Gola, Robbie Collins. Who else is
You just watch them and you think.
You just
These are the guys I went on the Stuart Taylor show with. So I was very intimidated once I got on because they put me on TV and I was like, this is great, whatever, whatever. And then fucking Luiso they're so fast and they'll get in and out. Like we're just going around the room, we're doing panel and they're just getting in and out of bits. They know which perspective to be in the bit, whether they're the ones who's making fun of the guy or getting made fun of. They were so quick and I was like, wow, these guys are amazing.
And I got a little crush on
Luiso Madinga and he came to New York and I was trying to get him to come on the road with me. It wasn't even gonna be a good gig. I was like playing a gig that I knew was bad, but I was like, no, come do the road. Like you want to see what the road is like. I brought Robbie in the road and they called him the N-word. So I was like, I don't
know. No way.
So I think that's why Luisa didn't come. He's like, I heard about these damn road gigs. It was a completely different show.
So what audience is like? Okay, New York, obviously, Cellar, Carolines, whatever. They're tourists. A lot of them, not from New York.
Sure. But now the Cellar has become the place. So it's like, the Cellar is like, it's like going to Hamilton. The cream of the crop goes to the Cellar. They get the tickets ahead of time. Gotham. Getting tickets there is basically like the hard thing to
do. So they're not doing that sale on Times Square.
Oh no, they never did. They've never had a street team. No, okay. No. The Louis show and then now Crashing and all these other shows have just made this club so big that now they have, I think they have four rooms. So they had the room in the basement of the thing, and then they had stuff around the corner, and then so now they've taken the room around the corner, which was a music room, that's the underground, turned that into a comedy room, and then they've taken the upstairs, and then they'll do comedy in the Fat Black Pussycat, and so they have all these rooms.
The Fat Black Pussycat, isn't that what they called Robbie Collins?
Yeah.
Is it possible,
I don't know how you guys knew that.
For someone like me, how would I go about...
Never.
Did you grief him to abuse me at every day?
I used my man wearing a shirt with little rubber ducks on.
There's too much pause.
How does he know my role?
Just ask him, Christian, go.
Oh, no, fuck you, right.
Punching bag.
Too much pause.
Is it possible to get...
Here's what I say to people. There's probably 30 shows going every night in New York. You can get on. And it's the same thing. It's like you will get the love of come out. I'm from another place, and it's like, people know that it's good for the show to put you on, and it's like, and if they know anything about South Africa, they also like, there's also the thing where I think everybody's from the U.S. is going to think you just probably know Trevor.
Yeah.
So they're going to be like, come on.
You exactly like
it. Yeah. You know him. You must know him, so that's going to get them on The Daily Show. That's what they're
going to
think.
And I feel like also if you get outside the country, they'd be like, he got out. He must be
one of the ones.
So
that's all I'm doing. Yeah, I'm not even funny in the U.S. That's fantastic.
You're not even a comedian.
Yeah, now I come out here, they're like, oh, let's get him on stage.
So your festival organizing, is that also something comedians do as well? We kind of I felt a little bit irrelevant for a few years. I looked around and thought, this isn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
So then you go into producing.
Yeah.
So what is the festival called?
The Hoboken Comedy Festival. The thought process for me, honestly, was more this idea of like, there's this scope of what I want to accomplish, and it's like, you know, it's hard to do it 4 minutes at a time. So once you have an opportunity to now run a thing,
Ryan, 4 minutes,
then you can start to build your act. And you can start to think, but like you have to be very cognizant of what your role is. So I was, it was very important to me to know that I am this role and not this role. Not kid myself. The worst is when the guy produces the show and then he's trying to do the headlining spot, and you're like, and
do the sound and the lighting.
Oh, right, and he's doing all the things, and it's like, no, you're the 8 minute guy. Be the 8 minute guy and crush that 8 minutes. Come off stage so that people are like, I wish he would do
minute. Who's got the guts to tell someone that?
No, you can't. Yeah. You have to know it in your heart. That's what I mean. Yeah. So that was my... I was like, I'm never going to put myself in an opportunity that I'm not ready for. I'm never going to put myself in a position where I'm going to do 45 before I'm ready, because then you're going to bomb. Nobody's going to ever want to see that show again.
Yeah.
And so, if anything, I waited a little too long, and I didn't have the chat with myself where I go, just do the thing.
Do the thing.
You could finally do the thing.
About that fear.
Yeah.
Go to Grahamstown and test yourself.
Yeah.
Walk out on the thing, no safety net, just
do it. Well, that's what this was for me, was Hoboken. To find out if I'm truly universal.
when we watch movies, obviously it's Brooklyn. It's done sort of.
It's in New Jersey, but it's the equivalent of like a Brooklyn. It's right across. It's right across the river from New York.
Anywhere you've seen here that's kind of similar, family Italians, little
you,
Italy,
no, you don't have
vibes.
No, because everything in proximity of New York just becomes like the cool neighborhood where people with money stay. So the people that work on Wall Street, because the train goes directly to Wall Street, it's a 9-minute ride to Wall Street. They all work and they live there. Okay. So it's like these are all the financial dudes. And so what was happening when I first moved there? Financial dudes getting girls and then they would get married and then they'd get out of town. They'd go start a family Hempstead. Further out in Boxburg or whatever. In the
So that's also interesting because that geography-wise, exactly there are areas like that.
Yeah.
Not gentrification.
Everything is like that, yeah. So everywhere you go, you know, it's like there's a city thing and people that are my parents' generation don't understand living in the city anymore and everybody moved out for safety into the suburbs and then now everybody's sort of my age and then now the problem is it's extending. Because what we're calling millennials now, which is made up, is just like it's just anybody who doesn't have a wife basically is a millennial at this point, right? Like
I'm a millennial. I am solidly a millennial.
Like if you have a job and you live in the city and you're sort of living this like bachelor man's or bachelorette woman's life, you're basically like you're the
so you live in a loft.
I live in an apartment.
A renovated.
I have a roommate. Yeah.
Yeah. Warehouse that's become
right. Yeah, yeah. I wish there was more of that, but all that stuff in New York, you can't get your hands on that stuff anymore.
Vittorio said the place is called Fat Aladdin. Sorry, just throwing that in there.
The place,
Fat Aladdin.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's my
fat pussy cat.
the Fat Aladdin. I get it. That's my.
And then hope did start with that because what we do here is we try and find out ways to do producing production. You just sitting there going, there is no comedy festival here.
Yeah.
In the little inner city, was it in a town?
Yeah. So Hoboken is this weird little place. It's a mile, 1 square mile. And everybody goes into the city. And so it's like, I was running at the time a weekly show in Queens. Queens is a place where people live and they hang out. They like to hang out in Queens. They come home from work and they hang out there. Hoboken, nobody does that. They wake up in the morning and they leave.
Community supporting a local vendor, a local place, a local bar.
They don't have that vibe. So like all these restaurants open up and then they close because there's nobody around. And then on the weekends, people from outside further out in Jersey come to Hoboken and use it as New York City as if they're afraid to go to New York City. So they just come and they hang out there.
Foxburg.
So I looked at this.
Park Station, baby.
That's the flea market.
So I looked at this scene and I said, a monthly's not going to work here. The only way I can really do something here is if I just hit a weekend hard.
Once a year.
And just bring in headliners, big headliners, and do the thing. It's the first year I had Amy Schumer, Chuck Nice, Kurt Metzger, and I can't remember who the last one was. But I only
fine,
did.
We only know Amy Schumer.
I did a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That was it. And now it's a week long, and people submit, and I've made the first half of the week come in. Do your, you know, basically it's like a new talent night, but it's all working. You know, New York comedians are trying to figure out, get to the next step, and we have 5 of those go on each night. One of those wins each night. Somebody wins, and then they get to open for whoever the headliners are. And then in the weekend's just a proper show. It's host, the guy who won, sometimes maybe like a guest slot, and then it's a feature and a headliner. And the headliner will
and
do
your
40.
Role, you've stepped back, you produce, you go to PR meetings, you're out there getting the walkie-talkie, making sure the tickets are sold.
All those things.
Speaking into your watch. Because
what I wanted for this show is that we don't have any order.
Yeah.
So I thought we'd have to call signs. So when you say something, because we speak over each other, we started saying over when you finish speaking.
Oh, I see. That so works, yeah.
It didn't work.
Over.
No, it didn't work. It was
a lot
weird.
Of ear fatigue hearing over, over.
We talk over each other
a
lot. So I thought the only way to do this is have call signs. So Eric would be...
White Lion.
White Lion.
Yes, what? Going with the White Lion because it took long. And I knew it was going to be something...
Yeah. Oh, you wanted to jump in to block it.
That's what I find nice.
It's going to be something about his ears.
Whenever you're going to be racist, just go like this.
Dave, no.
And then let them do it.
Yeah.
Let them. They'll do it in their mind.
So, Eric, White Lion.
Yes.
Before you speak, you have to say White Lion and then say something.
Okay.
And then when you finish, we can say over.
This seems complicated.
That's why I don't do it.
Yeah. It confused everybody. And then like, why does he keep saying White Lion over? And it's like, good. No, I don't know. Actually,
it's not good.
White Lion out. And then I'd
leave.
No, I'd leave. I would normally.
It's not good. No, that's people. The only people that would like be interested in that podcast were people that used to listen to ham radios.
This is for Vittorio.
Did you guys have ham radios?
We do.
Is he the only one listening, Victoria?
he's listening live.
And he enjoys it as well because he knows he knows about comedy.
Yeah.
He has a vast...
He knows about everything.
Yeah. Oh, he's saying we should invest in shock collars.
He's great.
and then just have the button. So when you want to speak, you press the person who's speaking remote, and then
I think that's the sex show after this.
No, you wrap it around the other thing.
We all got cock rings on our second show.
Oh yeah, we did.
Nice. You're still wearing them?
I haven't taken mine off.
Yeah.
You took yours out, Eric?
Two years.
We had a pact. That day we had a pact.
I've used mine a total of like 6 times.
I don't understand. I understand the cock ring thing. It's the
how old are you, Dan?
It's rubber?
Yeah, it's...
How old are you?
35. This
you're
going
to understand from next year. You'll start understanding.
So, no, explain it to me. Do you put it behind your balls? What do you
behind the balls and you pack it in there. It looks like a little... looks like those Cabbage Patch
face.
Dolls.
Yeah, but
you know, the Cabbage Patch Dolls when they sew the nose on too tightly.
Oh, shit. The packaging just says don't use for more than half an hour.
Is that it? Yeah. And then what happens?
I threw the packaging away. That's a mess.
And then what happens?
The blood stays in, so it stays harder. It's not as big, but it stays harder for longer because the blood stays in. Got nowhere else to go.
Oh, I see. That's why you're saying after 35. I see.
Yeah. So like after that, it just becomes a hazard.
Eric's 12. He gets woody now.
Especially last night, hey, my boy.
Last night.
I didn't need a cock ring last night.
5 minutes ago. Yeah.
But do the porn stars talk about those things?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they have further knowledge on everything that we have. So like what we like the extent of what we know, they've.
What is the similarity in terms of comedy exact? Like, were they doing things and you're going, fuck, that's exactly what happens to us?
Well, there's so many similarities. So, like, even from the standpoint of, like, when you're a comedian, you know that something is funny because you've been doing it for 15 years.
You have no idea
But you have to figure out how to make the audience understand why it's funny. As a porn star, you're like, the thing with the feet? That's beginner shit. You know what I mean? So it's like all of the fetish stuff. Like they're totally in depth in that market. They get requests for videos, and they're like, "Oh, this is a new thing." Like they didn't like. It's like they hear about it way before anybody. Because it's like one guy maybe was the first guy to be like, "Hey, just I need you to like kick another dude in the balls like 11 times for me to be able to have an orgasm." And then like, but then now that's like normal for them to have that type of request. So they're so far, they're just so sexually experienced that they're so far ahead of the game. They're like, they're savants now. Like
have you met comedians that are like that?
That like to be kicked in the balls?
Chappelle? Yeah.
Dave Chappelle
have you ever kicked Dave Chappelle in the balls?
That's what he asks me to do. No, Dave Chappelle, actually, funny enough.
You've got to know your place, Dan.
One of the nights that we all sort of found out how much of a virtuoso Dave Chappelle was, he had a running gag throughout his set that he likes to fuck feet. And this became a bit that he ended up using later on. But it was like a riff that night. And he did 40 minutes like as like a, just a drop in. It ended up being like a 3-hour show. It ended up being 3 hours of him, actually. But he did a drop in.
At a comedy club.
Cellar. Okay, so my boy Andrew Schultz, love this guy. He's on at the Cellar, and then I'm just coming there to hang out and watch. I hadn't seen his set in 6 or 8 months, and I wanted to see what he was working on.
How do you get into the Cellar?
I just called Andrew. I was like, "You're on tonight." I called him. I said, "Hey, where are you at tonight? I want to see your set. I haven't seen your set in 8 months."
Okay.
And so he says, "Yeah, come to the Cellar. We're hanging out." So I said, "Cool. I'm going to the Cellar." And then Andrew's chilling, and then Chris Rock comes in. And then he sort of like looks at the booker to kind of like see, and they're like, yeah, you know, you're still on, you're good. And then Chappelle sort of like wanders in, and he looks at the booker, and then I guess they have a little moment where they're like, we're going to put those guys on, and then we'll see what's left of the show at the end. So, fantastic night.
Ryan, you'll get that slot.
Did I tell you?
You'll go on after.
This might have been the one I told you about.
Yeah, this is
So I go downstairs. Chris Rock's on stage. He's working out his bits for the BET Awards. This dates when it was. It's like 3-4 years ago. And one of my favorite bits was he's talking about Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling was a guy who owned the Clippers. He said something racist. Yeah. They baited him. He had a black girlfriend, and they sort of baited him into saying something racist.
Phone call.
It was a text message, something like that. And basically, give or take, he told her to stop bringing her black friends to the games, and called them hooligans and things like. Not in those words, but like, you know, I don't know that he dropped the racial slurs, but it didn't look good. Yeah. And the league was like, you got to sell. You know,
Robbie Collins was upset.
Robbie Collins actually handled that beautifully when they called him. The league basically was like, you got to sell. This is what's happening. And so Chris Rock's doing this Donald Sterling joke on BET Awards. This is the first time anybody's going to like comment on it. And the joke was, I can't be mad at Donald Sterling for being a racist. He was born in 1935. He said the first black guy that Donald Sterling met, he got for Christmas. It's a great bit. He's working out the bit, and he doesn't have the tags on it. So Chris Rock's doing the thing, and he's like letting the crowd know that he doesn't even know for sure if this is right. But the crowd's loving him, and he's Chris Rock. And then so then Will Sovince is the host that night. Chris looks over at Will, and he just goes, the crowd has no idea what's going on. I have some vague idea. And then he looks at Will, and he and Chris just goes, can I do it? And then Will goes, yeah, yeah. And then Chris goes, you guys have heard of me. Like, I'm pretty okay at this thing. You know, people fuck with me. But, like, this guy's the best to ever do it. And then he brings Chappelle on. And at this point, the crew that I was hanging out with was Akash Singh, Andrew Schultz, and a bunch of other guys. And we had sort of, we had put Chris Rock sort of in like the top three category thing. We thought this was like the guy. And then to see him go, no, Dave's the guy.
Yeah, that's insane.
And then so then Dave comes on, and he just starts riffing. He's messing around, and he does like 40 minutes. As this is going on, Marlon Wayans just walks in. And the crowd is like, what the hell's happening? And they're just like, Marlon Wayans comes on. He just starts sitting on the piano smoking. Him and Chappelle are going back and forth. We're all kind of like, Marlon, it's cool that you're here, but like, just let the adults speak. You know what I mean? Because Dave is, you know, is crushing. And he's talking about Slender Man and all this crazy stuff that was in the news at the time. Chris Rock, we sort of realized at some point, is in the corner watching. He's been watching the whole hour, standing up in the corner watching, just, you know, sort of in the shadows. Then eventually Dave calls Chris onto stage. Chris gets on stage, and he's got his notebook, whatever, and they're like kind of talking together, and now everybody's really happy. You got Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle on stage, and people's minds are exploding. And then Dave Chappelle, very nonchalantly, sitting on a stool, smoking like an e-cigarette, says to Chris, what was that Donald Sterling bit? I like that bit. What was the bit? And then Chris turns his back to the crowd, tells the joke to Dave Chappelle only. And then Dave just takes the drag, and he goes, I like that. And he's like, and you can see that Chris getting like excited. And then he just like gives him like an extra little tag. And he just like, what about, what if? And then Chris is like, oh shit. And he's like,
the audience
scribbling
are watching
it down.
This joke happen.
Yes. And then he starts scribbling it down. And then he like goes in the corner, and he's writing, he like excuses himself. He's in the corner, he's writing.
So Dave
Chappelle
released
does another
something
hour.
Else in him. He released, yeah. He said, well, how about this?
Yes.
And then he just let him go.
And then,
that's
and
often
then,
what you need.
Yeah. And then
that's
Chris
amazing.
Went off. But the esteem that Chris Rock, who we thought was the guy, had for Dave Chappelle, we were like, what's happening? And then just watching
do you
him
have
effortlessly do this thing.
That thing that you said now, he's Chris Rock. So a lot of times people will see an act based on that they are the act.
Yeah.
They don't even listen to what they're saying. It's just so cool to have him there.
Yeah.
Like, Trevor jumped on a few stages while he was here.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
And people were
freaking out.
People never knew. They didn't know.
Yeah.
They're sitting there. Even some people on the stairs were going, the one guy said to you, that's not Trevor.
He told me the story.
It's not Trevor.
He said, why are you messing with me?
He said, why would he come to a club?
Yeah.
I said, but this is where he does comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy doesn't exist at the BET Awards.
Right.
Comedy doesn't exist at corporate.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Comedy exists in the clubs.
Right.
They shouldn't be surprised to see Trevor at the box.
Right.
Where else is he going to go?
Well, they don't understand yet. And that's what I love about this scene is like they're starting to figure it out. And this idea
the audiences or the comedians?
No, the audiences.
Yeah.
So if that's what I was saying. It was so great that he would come to Goliath and do these things. It's like, and that's the place to go, obviously. But it's like if those clubs, and I love those guys who run these places. So it's like if those clubs can start to build this thing where, and that's what happened to The Cellar. It was like you just know that Louis C.K., who now is larger than life, is going to drop in. Or like,
but also the owner of the club made sure, said, no, you can go on. Do you mind? They literally asked the guy, do you mind if you can come on the second half?
Yeah.
Because Trevor's here.
Don't.
And then the comedian has to go, no, fuck that. I want my slot.
Right. Yeah. What's he going to say? Right.
Chris Rock came here as well. He did the underground.
Yeah.
A couple of things. He said, he also had the manners to go, do you mind if I, can I do 10 minutes?
Yeah.
So that's also quite cool. It's not arrogant going, hi, I'm here. You get off.
No, there needs to be an etiquette. I mean, because the comedy community, while it's huge, is very small, and word gets around, right? So you like, we'll know what's going on all of the scenes.
You're not saying no to gigs. You did The Worst Guys. You've done Poppies. You've done.
Yeah, I'll do all the gigs. Yeah,
you're doing more of the gigs.
I was trying to
you're
do the
waking comedians up to say, "Fuck, there's comedians, man.
Yeah.
It's a Sunday."
No, there was a weird one. Yeah, there was a weird moment. What did I do last time I was here? I got a show in Polokwane. And everybody was like, what? They're like, I have never played Polokwane. What are you? Why are you playing Polokwane?
It's north.
Yeah. It's Limpopo. Yeah. It's the Maropa Casino.
That's it.
It's like 4 hours.
That's it.
It's like 4 hours north,
and it's
yeah.
a dead straight road.
Yeah.
The most deaths on it.
And they don't even speak English at the gig. They'll do the show in Sepedi. Yeah.
Did you do your show in Italian? Just to fuck with watch this.
You're like, what?
Let me show you some vernac in my village.
And then just act it out like it's huge. We could probably still get laughs that way.
All right, we got to go. But
it's
we want you back.
Oh, it's over?
No, it's not over. Oh. We got 3 minutes or something left. But Ryan, any gigs coming up? You were working at Parker's this weekend.
I got Parker's this weekend. I got Goliath this weekend. I got the box this weekend.
Okay, well, I'll definitely see you at the box.
Yeah.
It's school holidays. I got my kids somewhere.
There's a Soweto show on Sunday. I'm trying to get on. It's like at 4 p.m. I'm
just
trying to
go. Go, Dan.
I think that's the comedy in the park or something.
Somebody
have you been on the Dan Nichols show?
No. I got to be on all the things. I want to be on all the things.
But thanks for having me. Thank
yeah,
you.
No, thank
listen,
you
you've been on the show literally for 2 weeks. We had you on last
yeah,
week.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
spoke about you.
Spoke about
the stuff we said about you last week not true. You seem like a nice guy.
Like, he didn't pitch up, the son of a. And now he's here, and we're like, oh shit, we changed him. I wasn't even here last week.
Yeah, I when the text with you, Dave, I could tell you thought I was coming that week. And
I felt
wrote,
bad,
I
though,
wrote the
I,
date
I wrote it,
in
I
multiple
had a smiley
times.
Face.
Yeah.
I had a smiley face there going, yeah. ha-ha. I'm like, I totally fucking thought he was coming.
This yeah.
smiley face.
No, I was reading it. I was like, if I could come the July 13th morning. He goes, yeah, we're certainly welcome. And I go, okay, cool. It's going on July 13th. It's two of them, two messages. And he goes, yeah, it's on. Just remind me. And then he's like, hey, man, where are you? Where the hell are you?
Yeah, on July 8th. You're like, no.
I said July 13th.
The 3 looks exactly like an 8, but just with the 1 standing next to it. So
maybe, yeah.
Numbers are so hard.
Maybe the 1 was a typo.
Right. Dan Figueroa, thanks to see you at Parker's. Ryan?
Poppy's Monday, I got a spot.
Cool,
so.
I got nothing. I got a golf day.
Nice.
I got it.
Which I'm paying to be on.
What?
Okay.
You paid them to give you a
call. My name is Dave Levinson.
My name is Eric Janssen. This has been the Just Now Comedy Podcast. And as always, we will see you again just now.
This is CliffCentral.com.